All right? So let's focus in up here real quick. Got something to say. The Lord's Supper is a special time for us because, as we said a second ago, it allows us to worship. It allows us to celebrate. It allows us to get excited, to be glad, to be joyful, and to think about just how much Jesus loves us. All right, that's the whole point of it. That's what we're doing. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus loves us enough to give himself up for us. Guys, don't ever forget how much Jesus loves you and what he was willing to do so that you could be in a relationship with God. Guys, that should be on the front of our minds. It should be on the front of our hearts. It should motivate us. It should excite us. It should propel us into every single thing that we do. So it's incredible, and it's a good thing, and it's an important thing to look back and to celebrate what Jesus has done for us, but it's also important to look back and to celebrate the things that he's done recently, right? It's a good thing to press pause and to take time to notice God and to notice where he's been at work, and we might not do that enough, but we're going to take some time this morning to look back and see where God's been at work and to be reminded of the fact that it's God that's been at work, not us. Everything that's happened has been 100% God and not us. God is always at work, and we get to press pause and celebrate that and look at it. So this morning, we're going to do two things together, all right? These are important, and we need to do them more often. But the first is this. We're going to celebrate the past. We're going to celebrate where God's been at work. We're going to celebrate hearts changed and lives changed and people changed. We're going to celebrate where God has been at work. And the next thing that we're going to do is, guys, we're going to commit the future to God. We're going to look at everything that he's done and then look ahead and say, God, everything that you want to do is 100% yours. We're giving it over to you and trusting you with wherever you want to take us. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be in there. It's an incredible book. It's an incredible chapter, and there's some huge verses that people pull out as their life verses and as their favorite verses, and a lot of times we skip right to those verses, but we're going to slow down a little bit, and I want you guys to think about the book of Ephesians, and we're going to think about the chapter where we find these verses. Ephesians was written by, we're going to do a little test here. Who wrote Ephesians? Paul. You guys were going to guess Paul no matter what book I said, right? So Ephesians was written by Paul. Who'd he write it to? Ephesus, right? The church of Ephesus. All right, we're two for two. We're good. I'm going to stop asking questions and just feel good about the fact that we've got them. All right, so Paul wrote it to the church at Ephesus, but think about this. It wasn't a random guy writing to a random church. Paul was a missionary that invested his life in that church. Paul was a missionary that cared about the people of that church. He dearly loved the people in that church, and he poured himself out so that they could know Christ, and he wrote this letter to them. He wrote this letter to them, continuing to instruct them on growing in their walk with Christ. He wrote this letter to them to encourage them in their faith and in their walk with Christ. So think about someone that you've poured your life out for, someone that you've invested in, maybe someone that you saw come to know Christ on a mission trip, maybe one of your friends that's recently come to know Christ, and think about the opportunity that you might have to write a letter to them and what you would say and how you would pour your heart out to them. That's what's going on here. He's pouring his heart out to them, and in the middle of this letter, he presses pause and he stops and he writes down his prayer for them. I love the way that Paul prays, but I love the way that Paul prays for people in a very, very specific way. And so he pauses in the middle of this letter and he writes down his prayer for them. If you look in verse 3, starting in verse 14, and as we read this together, I want you guys to think about this prayer and to think about the boldness of this prayer and to think about the huge, big things that Paul is asking God for in this prayer, right? This isn't a small thing. Paul's asking for everything possible here. So look at chapter 3, starting in verse 14, it says this, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of the glory of God, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend or to understand with all the saints, with all the believers, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. Paul's praying and asking God for these huge things on their behalf, for these huge things to happen in their life. Just to give you some bullet points of that prayer, he prays and asks that God would give them strength through the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. He asked that Jesus Christ would come and dwell. That means live. That means be in their hearts, that they would be present all the time with the person and the saving power of Jesus. He asked that this church, these people that he loves, these people that he cares about, would be grounded in love. That means that everything they do, every action, every thought, every motive, everything that these people do would be driven by their love for Christ and the love of Christ in them. So think about that. This entire church, everything that they do, whether at church or they're not at church, they're in their community, everything that they do is grounded and driven and motivated by the love of God in their life. And then the last thing that he said is this, and I love this. He asked God to help them understand the incomprehensible love of God. So he asked them to understand something that's impossible to understand so that they could be filled with the fullness of God. This was a huge prayer that Paul's asking on their behalf. It's a bold prayer. It's a big prayer. He's asking for so much. And then he goes on to say something incredible. Look at verse 20. He says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Listen, Paul doesn't say, this is my prayer for you and I'm going to work hard to make it happen. Paul doesn't say, this is my prayer for you and I hope that it comes true one day. Paul says, this is my huge, bold prayer for you that your lives would be changed and impacted by the gospel. And then he says, as big as this prayer is, as much as I've asked God for, I know that God can do far and abundantly more than all I'm asking or imagining right now. God could take this prayer and go tenfold or a hundredfold or even farther than I could ever think, dream, or possibly ask or imagine. Guys, Paul has this prayer for these people. He says, I know God could take it even farther. And by the way, when he does, all the glory for it is going to go to God. And guys, to me, and hopefully to you, that's an incredible picture and an incredible reminder that whatever we pray for, whatever we ask for, guys, that God's going to be there and God's going to take it farther than we could have asked or imagined, that God is going to do more, that he's going to bless more, that he's going to be at work, whether we see it or not, guys, that God is going to be at work in a way that we could never even possibly dream about him being at work for. And then we have the opportunity to sit back and to give God the glory, not for what we've done, but to give God the glory for everything that God's done, to give God the glory for every way that we've seen God work and maybe ways that we weren't even able to see God work. So guys, knowing that and knowing that God always does abundantly more than we ask or imagine, like we said up front, and as a church, Pastor David's doing this down the hall. We're doing this at our North Campus and Conroe Campus. We're just going to look back and see where God has been at work and how he's been at work in a way that's far greater than we ever could have asked or imagine. So we're just going to hit a few highlights from the year of things that happened this past year and where God worked. And if you can remember it, love for you guys to get excited about these different things that happened. So we'll go back to last fall and think about that. And last fall was the first time, not for some of our teachers, but for our students, last fall was the first time that a lot of you guys met our friend Ken Freeman, okay? A lot of you had never heard of him, never met him before he got here in the fall. And here's the cool thing about what happened when Ken Freeman came. I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but guys, we have been praying and begging and talking to your principals and talking to your teachers and talking to the school board for years, not for months, for years to get into your schools, and no doors were ever opened. And we were never able to get in. And then as Ryan introduced us to Ken, and brought Ken's talk in, we started talking to your principals and your school boards, and one principal said yes. And when one principal said yes, we were so excited, and we began praying that God would get us into two or three schools, and we could do four or five assemblies before Ken spoke here on the Sunday morning. But guys, God did more than we could have asked or imagined, and we were in over a dozen schools, and Ken did 30 assemblies, not four or five. He did 30 assemblies in the schools that week. And at the end of the week, Over 1,700 people were an element, and over 200 people came forward to give their lives to Christ. Guys, God did far more. Yeah, God did far more than we ever could have asked or imagined. It was so cool to see, standing at the front of the room that day, seeing students come forward to give their lives to Christ. And a lot of you guys had your friends pray to receive Christ that morning. But more than just that, it was incredible to see moms and dads at church that morning and coming forward to give their lives to Christ because their student heard him at school and invited mom and dad to come and see it. It was exciting to see a grandfather come forward and give his life to Christ because his grandson heard Ken speak in his school that week, and just to think about all that God did. I don't get emotional very often, really, ever. And my wife thinks there's something wrong with me, I think. I'm not sure. There probably is something wrong with me. But standing at the front of the room as people came forward that Sunday morning, there was this salty, wet stuff on my face, and I don't know where it came from or what it was. But it was just incredible to see what God did and how he went further than we could have asked or imagined. And guys, I don't know if you realize this, but past just the schools, Champion Forest as a whole has had a huge impact on our community this year. And I want to highlight three things that have gone on. And the first was this, was Candy Crush. Was anybody at Candy Crush this past fall? Listen, you guys and 10,000 of your closest friends were at Candy Crush this past fall. A lot of families from our community that have never been to church at Champion Forest and have never been to church anywhere showed up that night. A lot of people gave their lives to Christ, but the cool thing is this. A lot of people filled out a card and said, we'd love to hear more about Champion Forest Baptist Church. And so our team started going out, connecting with those families, calling those families, showing up at their houses and praying with them. So many of them came to faith in Christ. So many families are now connected into the body here at Champion Forest because of a ministry in our community. What about the Christmas production? Anybody go to the Christmas show this year? Anybody help at the Christmas show this year? Sing, dance, push people down a snow hill maybe? Right? There was a lot going on at that Christmas show, but guess what? Over 24,000 people came to that show this year. Over 300 people at the end of that show with Pastor Fleming up on stage prayed to ask Jesus to come into their heart as their personal Lord and Savior. Guys, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible, guys. Far more than we could have asked or imagined. And you know what? Another huge community impact. We think about it being for our church, but guys, this is for our community. And God does a huge thing with it is VBS. Is anybody part of VBS this year? I don't know. Maybe you still would have signed up for it. But guys, did you realize that over 2,000 students were signed up to be a part of VBS this year? And by the end of the week, that over 100 of them have given their life to Christ. Guys, far more than we ever could have asked or imagined. Far more than we could have asked or imagined. Guys, God's at work. God is at work, and he's allowing us to see what's going on. And guys, that's a huge, incredible blessing. We don't always see it. But guys, God's allowing us to see how he's working in hearts and lives. And guys, this summer, it was so cool to see God at work in two areas. The first one is camps. All right, God was at work in a big way at camp this summer. And going into the summer, I got to be honest, I think I can speak for Ryan and Francis, the rest of the staff, that we were nervous about camp. We weren't sure what was going to happen with both camps at the same place. We weren't sure what was going to happen with both camps back to back. We knew we were going to be tired, but we just didn't know what to expect. And as we drilled down and focused everything that week on the heart, it was so cool to see God work in the heart of so many of the students that were there. Students that had been dealing with issues and struggling with things and holding on to burdens for years began to soften their hearts and give those things over to the Lord and begin to talk to people about them and pray with people about them. Students who had been angry at someone for a long time allowed God to work on their heart and bring them back into a relationship with him. Students who had been caught and struggling with sin began confessing their sin to God and began confessing their sin to one another so that they could walk in accountability and pursue Jesus Christ together. And guys, 103 students that came into that week not knowing Jesus Christ left with a personal relationship with God. So guys, it's incredible to see how God again worked in a way far greater than we ever could have asked or imagine. And at the end of that week, 79 people were baptized. But the cool thing is this, guys, as a church, not just student ministry, as a church, we're going to see over 500, probably close to 600 people get baptized at Champion Forest this year. More people than in any other year in the history of our church. Guys, God is doing incredible things. And again, he's moving in a way far greater than we could have asked or imagined. And guys, the last thing that I want to highlight is this. Guys, our mission trips. Guys, God worked in a huge way in Houston, in San Antonio, and in Chicago this year. And then in spring break, God was at work in England in a big, big way. And guys, at the end of our mission trips, we talked about this. We said everything that happened, right? We saw dozens of people on each of those trips come to know Christ. But guys, we said everything that happened and everything we did, we wanted to bring it back home. We wanted that heart and that attitude for people to be expressed here in our community as well. And the day after mission trip, I got a call from a parent who said that the mission trip was incredible for their kid, and their kid was bold, and their kid proclaimed the gospel to people and saw people get saved on mission trip, and immediately when they came home, began sharing the gospel with their friends, and saw one of their friends the day after mission trip pray to receive Christ because they brought it home, and they were bold to step out, guys. So God worked in a way far greater than we could have asked or imagined on these trips, but not just trips in the student ministry, right? We took a couple, but our church took 23 mission trips this year, as close as Houston, as far away as the other side of the world in Asia. Not just that, guys. God has blessed us and enabled us to be mobilized around the world. That our church this year, I don't know if you guys realize it or not, that this year our church adopted two completely unreached people groups on the other side of the world, a people group in India and a people group in Indonesia, right? They're totally unreached. That they don't know the gospel. They don't have the Bible in their language yet. They don't have anybody with the goal of reaching those people. And so as our church and as our leadership and as our missions committee prayed about it, we said that we'll go, that we'll invest in those areas, that we'll send missionaries to those areas, that we'll plant missionaries in those areas. So a people who for generations has never heard the name of Jesus is going to begin to hear the name of Jesus because of God at work in the hearts and lives of people at Champion Forest. Not just those people groups that are unreached, guys, but Champion Forest has been blessed to be active in several other church plants as well. Our North Campus, our Conroe Campus, we've got a church plant in New York that's branching out to do a second one. A church plant started in New Orleans this year, and in the first year, guys, this is unheard of. In the first year of this church plant, that church saw 105 people pray to receive Christ and get baptized at that church plant. It's incredible. It really is. We have a church plant in St. Louis that's growing and moving to 3 services this coming fall. Of course, Julian and Jessica Pizarro are doing incredible things in Chile, guys. So God is at work in a big, big way. And here's the important thing. God is at work. God is at work in a big, big way. And he's doing far more than we ever could have asked or imagined. And the fun thing is this, guys. It's big things, and it's big things to talk about, and it's big numbers, and it's big events, and it's all that. But guys, these are real people, right? With real families and real hearts that are really going to spend eternity somewhere. So every single one of these numbers, every single one of these things that we're celebrating, God, represents something that's very, very personal to so many different people. And so guys, we're going to push pause. I'm going to ask Sadie to come up, and Sadie's just going to give you a glimpse into one of these personal stories in a way that she saw God at work in a specific person's heart and life and family this summer. So you guys welcome Sadie Burridge to the stage.
Can you hear me?
Is this thing on?
I'm on.
There you go. You're good.
Hi. Good morning. So I'm a senior, or I just
graduated. You're a graduate. You're a freshman, actually.
So now I'm a freshman.
You're a freshman.
And I went to the Chicago mission trip that we just went on, and it was so awesome. The Lord is at work, and I was on the sports camp team. I was on the Hudson's team, and we had an amazing week. We had 9 kids come to know the Lord, but there just is one kid who just clinged to me, and it was just so cool to be at work in his life and just to see the Lord working in his life. So his name is Marquise, and he is just the sweetest boy that I've ever met. And he told me things that he had probably had never told people that week, and he would make me watch him play games and make me play with him, and we made bracelets, and he gave me a bracelet at the end of the week, and so it just formed a relationship with him throughout the week, and it was really hard to tell him goodbye. And so we were sitting down, and he was like, "I really don't want you to go back to Texas, and I want you to stay in Chicago." And I was like, "As much as I would love to, like, I can't. Like, I have so many things that I need to go do." And he accepted Christ at the end of the week, and so it was really cool how the Lord worked in my heart, because as I was saying that goodbye to this little boy that I had loved the whole week, the Lord was like, "He is going to be in heaven with you for eternity." And so it's not really a goodbye. And so I got to tell him, "Hey, even though this is a goodbye on earth, like, we are going to see each other in heaven. And so this is just to see you later." And his eyes just filled up with tears, and he just was overcome with joy. And so it's just so cool, as we're talking about people come to the Lord, that I was right there with that little boy telling him goodbye, but I'll see him in heaven. So it was just so cool to see the Lord work.
Amen. Great job, Sadie. So guys, every single one of those people that came to know the Lord has a story similar to that. A story similar to that. And the exciting thing is every single one of them, we're going to see again. Whether we don't see again here on earth, we're going to get to spend eternity with them in heaven because of the way that God worked in a way that's far more than we ever could have asked or imagined. There's a verse in Acts. You don't need to flip there, but there's a verse in Acts, chapter 8, verse 8, and I love it. It's after an incredible season of ministry. The Bible says, "And there was much joy in that city." There was joy in that city because of the way that God had been at work. The joy was a result of everything that God had done, everything that God was going to do. So guys, after the year that we've had, we should be full of joy and excited about what God's done, but not just excited about what he's done, excited about what he's going to do in the future and ready to commit that to God. So we've celebrated the past, and guys, I want to encourage you now as we make this little transition to commit the future to God. Starting next week, all right, we're talking about the concept of going deeper, and it flows out of Luke chapter 5. I'm just going to read this verse to you real quick. It says, Luke 5:4, "And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon," this is Jesus, "put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked all night and we caught nothing, but at your word, or but because you asked me to, we will do it." Guys, Jesus asked them to go where they hadn't gone yet. Jesus asked them to go deeper. Jesus asked them to take that step of faith, guys, and we're going to read this story over the next couple of weeks, and we're going to see the result. Now, as a result, it's huge. They caught so many fish that their nets began to break when they were willing to trust God and to go deeper and to take things to the next level. So, guys, they trusted God, and God did more than they could have asked or imagined. Here's three areas we're going to ask you guys and all of us as a church to go deeper this next year. The first is this. We're going to ask you guys to go deeper in the area of worship. Okay, we're going to ask us to take our lives of worship to the next level. We're going to do new and exciting things in here. We're going to do things to consistently engage you in worship on Sunday mornings. We're going to try to engage you in worship on Wednesday night and throughout the weekend. So we're going to have an incredible time of worship together where you guys are participating, where you guys are active and involved in worship. So our worship as a community, as a church, is going to be incredible, guys. But we're going to talk about how we can go deeper and live lives of worship throughout the week as well. Worship isn't just when we sing and hear on Sunday morning or when we take the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, guys. We have the opportunity to live lives of worship every week, and we're going to encourage you guys to go deeper in that area of your life. Guys, we're going to go deeper in discipleship, all right? That means we're going to go deeper in our walk with God and knowing God more, and we're going to challenge you guys to do that. We're going to encourage you guys and give you ways to do that each and every week on Sunday mornings, on Wednesdays, on Sunday nights, and throughout the week, guys. We're excited about taking our community to the next level and going deeper in our walk with Christ together. And guys, part of that is going to be this. It's going to be you guys taking ownership of it. It's going to be you guys taking responsibility for it and holding each other accountable to it, because I'm telling you, when you guys are here and plugged into your life groups on Sunday morning, we're going to challenge you to go deeper and you to experience God in a way that you never have before, and hopefully you're going to grow and learn. But when you guys are here, your presence on Sunday morning helps other people grow. It helps other people learn. It helps other people develop in their walk with Christ as well. So we're going to challenge you guys and encourage you guys to take it to the next level and to go deeper, forming community with one another. The camp teams that you guys have, the mission trip teams that you guys have that you bond with and that you fall in love with throughout the week, guys, our vision, our picture is that those would be your life group classes as well, that would be a sense of community where you're growing together each and every week, doing life and going deeper in your walk with Jesus. And the last area of your life we're going to encourage you and challenge you to go deeper is this. It's a big word. It's evangelism. Raise your hand if you know what that word is. Evangelism. Here's just a really easy way to put it, okay? Evangelism means loving people, right? Evangelism means telling people the good news of the gospel, right? It means telling people about Jesus. So in my mind, that means loving people. Loving people with the gospel. It means loving people enough to tell them about Jesus. Loving people enough to tell them about the opportunity they have to be in a walk with Christ. And guys, what we said on mission trip, we mean what started there needs to come back here. And we need to love the people in our community. Guys, we need to love our friends. Do you know someone that doesn't know Jesus? Just raise your hand if you know somebody, if you're friends with somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Put them down. Think about this. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer this question out loud. But guys, the question that we hear over and over again that's a great reminder to us is this. Will that person that you just raised your hand about, will that person know Jesus because they know you? Guys, we're going to challenge you and encourage you to go deeper in your love for people and allow that love for people to spill out onto them so that they can know Jesus because of your relationship with Jesus. We're going to encourage you guys to be a part of Faith on Sunday nights, sharing the gospel. We had a ton of students do it last year. My team was awesome. They're right over here. We had Colin Zercher, Madison Meekins were on my team. It was a lot of fun. And here's the cool thing about Faith on Sunday nights. They were awesome, and so many of our students were awesome. But if you're nervous and you don't know what to say, do Faith anyway, and you never have to say a word because you have a team leader that can do all the talking for you. But I promise you this, you're going to learn. You're going to learn the verses. You're going to learn how to engage people and how to talk to people. And guess what? You're going to see your team leader share the gospel with people and get shot down. And you're going to see how they walk through that. You're going to see your team leader share the gospel with people and see people respond and pray to receive Christ. Guys, 598 people have prayed to receive Christ because people have been faithful on Sunday nights to be a part of Faith at Champion Force. Guys, we're going to go deeper. Yeah. We're going to go deeper in evangelism, which means we're going to go deeper in loving people, middle school students, high school students, college students, youth workers, parents. We need you and we want you there on Sunday nights. So guys, as a church, we've had an incredible year. We've had an incredible several years. But guess what? God's brought us to this point, and we're not satisfied to stay here because we know God didn't bring us here to stay here. God has incredible things in store for us in the future. God's going to continue to be at work if we'll trust him to go a little bit deeper. Okay, are you guys willing to trust God and to go a little bit deeper? Let me hear you. Anybody? All right, one more time. Are you guys willing to trust God and go a little bit deeper in your walk with Christ this year? Okay, all right, well, we're going to do that together. And as a church, we're going to continue to celebrate with joy everything that God's done. But this takes boldness, right? It doesn't just happen. We're going to trust God enough to give the future to him and go deeper in every area of our lives that God calls us to go deeper. Listen to this, and then we're done. As you go deeper and your understanding of God's love, you can't help but take people with you. Okay, as you go deeper in your understanding of God's love, you can't help but take people with you. That means as you know God more, the people around you are going to know God more. So guys, let God take you deeper, and I promise it won't get any better than that.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today, and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.